Predators and Philadelphia Flyers tonight from the Wells Fargo Center in Philly. Willie Donick here with you in the 102.5 The Game studios. Tom Callahan joins us from Philadelphia. The Predators had the big win the other night in Minnesota, the seventh time this season that they have come from behind from at least a two-goal deficit. Of course, that was the second time they've overcome a three-goal deficit. All kinds of great stuff going on around the NHL, and for that, we want to get a little more insight from around the league. Today, we call upon our friend Rob Volman. He is with Hockey Prospectus. You can also find articles at hockeyabstract.com. He's also a contributor to ESPN.com and their hockey coverage as well. Rob, thanks a lot for joining us once again.
Thanks a lot, Willie. It's always a pleasure to be on 125.
All right. Well, Robert, tell me this. I know you've been working on a piece for ESPN about some potential deadline deals, and of course you've got a little bit of an outside-the-box viewpoint on what players' values are to particular teams. Tell people what you've got in store.
Well, the series is, we do it every year. We basically go through each team and we take a look statistically what their greatest need is, and then we try to find the player who is plausibly available that would best fit that need.
Okay, so let's start with the obvious here, the Nashville Predators. You have certainly shot your share of holes in the Predators game, and they continue to be in the playoff hunt here. So give us your thought of what they need and maybe who might fit the bill.
Well, to give you a bit of a sneak peek, I'll actually even give you the player I've got earmarked here. So the hole that I think is most significant for Nashville to fill is to get that, I'm sure everyone would agree, to get that veteran, experienced player on the point, to someone who can kill penalties, play good defense, and to really play some big minutes as the young players develop. And I went with Hal Gill. He's likely to be available. I mean, he's an unrestricted free agent coming up, and he might fit that bill perfectly.
And, of course, Hal Gill would help the team height right down the board. So size he definitely provides.
Yeah, he's a big, solid player. That's the other thing that sometimes isn't obvious to a lot of people is Nashville's defense is young, but it's also an inexperienced, of course, but it's also a little bit small. And it helps to have the option for Barry Trotz to send out a really big guy when the game starts getting particularly tough, you know?
What are we talking, Rob, in terms of what it would take to get a guy like Hal Gill, or if it's not Gill himself, somebody like that? How do you try to place the value, what a guy makes, what he brings to the table, and then how that translates to what type of draft pick you're giving up, what type of prospect?
Well, the players that are unrestricted free agents are usually a little bit easier to get because you're really only renting them for a little while. And you're right, historically, generally, you give up a draft choice of some kind. So in the case of Hal Gill, I would actually even think that Nashville wants to keep its draft picks. It usually does. And instead might look to move a prospect, like maybe someone like Chet Pickard or something like that, maybe even wanting to do some sort of defenseman swap with them. Maybe someone like Jonathan Blum could get let go in a deal like this. So it also depends who they acquire. For a guy like Hal Gill, I wouldn't imagine you'd have to give up too much. It depends if a bidding war starts to really erupt for these types of defensemen or not.
And, you know, I think that's one of the things that really looking forward, I mean, that could skew a lot of the numbers and a lot of the ways things go. It's just simply there are going to be so few sellers out there that it might really drive prices up on guys who you might not even expect.
Absolutely. We've already seen some of these strong defensive-minded veteran defensemen getting sewn up, like Tim Gleason. He recently signed a nice big lucrative contract, and before that, they were asking for like two really good picks in exchange, so they had a pretty high price tag on them. But you know what? There are a lot of teams selling, and if you wait a couple of weeks and some of these teams that are fighting for that last spot in the West, if they're having a bad couple of weeks, they might turn into sellers. So right now, if you wanted to, you could probably talk to the Oilers about Andy Sutton, but you wait a couple of weeks and maybe you can talk to the Flames about Corey Sarich. So there's other options. If you wait a week or two, more teams start to slide off, and perhaps you can perhaps you might be able to get a deal.
Rob, I'm curious to get your take on tonight's opponent, the Philadelphia Flyers. They do so well on the road, haven't quite gotten it going at home here. What do you see as maybe their biggest area of need heading towards a trade deadline?
Well, the Flyers, they're a great team. They've had a great season. And you may recall when I did the recent Buzzkill-themed article about teams going for a second-half slide, the Flyers were one of those teams we said was going to cool off a little bit as their shooters start to cool off. Philadelphia is basically looking for what a lot of teams are looking for, and that's depth. They have the pieces they need. They're just looking for more of it, because as you go deeper and deeper into the playoffs, that's when people get hurt, people get injured, all sorts of things happen. So they're looking for depth players. They're not looking to make a big splash move. They're looking to make that cosmetic move, get those role players, get those depth players, the third liners, the fourth liners.
Rob, as we look at the teams at this point in the Western Conference that are really hanging on, the one that's closest to you, of course, the Calgary Flames, you follow them very closely. What do you think it's going to take? If you look at Minnesota, Dallas, Colorado, Calgary, Phoenix, and now even Anaheim, who's surging, it still looks like a big-time long shot for Anaheim to get into this thing. But which out of that group of teams, what are their realistic shots of getting into the playoffs? There may be only one or two playoff slots available for that whole cluster of teams.
Forget Anaheim. What we're dealing with those other five teams, and we've done a few statistical models. There's a few companies out there that take different approaches to their statistical models, or a few different sites, rather. And some of them have maybe Nashville and Minnesota grabbing those last spots. But both those teams are in a bit of a slide. Other teams maybe have Dallas joining those last spot. And, of course, we're assuming Los Angeles is basically in. I like Nashville's chances. It's pretty good, even though that I've already said they're going to be on a slide, but they do have a bit of a head start, and it might be enough unless one or more of these teams really starts to come on strong. As for a team like Calgary, or perhaps if you want to talk about Phoenix or Colorado, these teams are really up against the hill, and they're in a tough situation because if they stand pat or even become buyers at the trade deadline, and really, realistically, their chances of making the playoffs are sub 50%. They're really more in that 30% range or lower, then they've wasted a year. Whereas if they can maybe deal away some of these UFAs, some of these RFAs, get a few picks, get a few prospects, you know, they're in that tough situation, you know, whereas with a team like Nashville or even Minnesota or Dallas, be a buyer, stand pat, don't start selling. But those other teams, they're in a tougher spot.
So, Rob, as I hear you, you still view Nashville as a team that is certainly not a sure thing of getting into the playoffs, despite this surge that they've been on, that has given them the cushion that we're talking about.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Their chances are very good, but they do not have it clinched. But, yes, their chances are very good at this point.
All right, Rob, before we let you go, give us another. Let's work within the Central Division. Let's look at Detroit, St. Louis, and Chicago, three teams that the Predators are chasing right now, trying to get into the best seed situation, win the Central Division. That's the race right now. Of those three teams, give us, as you look at these deadline deals, what is the profile of one of those teams? What's a deal that you think would fit for either the Blues, the Blackhawks, or the Red Wings?
Well, the Blackhawks already picked up Brendan Morrison. Their problem has always been getting getting more centers that could potentially play a top six type of role. Brendan Morrison, this might be his last season, but he's a good little piece that could potentially shore that up a little bit. That means that what they're probably looking for is a good, solid defenseman, a good defensive-minded defenseman, maybe a guy like Brian Allen or something like that. Detroit, they're such a solid team, it's hard to find holes. Personally, last year they tried to get Evgeny Nabokov, and they wound up getting that guy sniped by the Islanders. They might try to get Nabokov back. Jimmy Howard's fine, but Ty Conklin isn't, I think, the backup that they want to have going into the playoffs. If they go on a deep run, it helps to have two solid goalies they can rely upon. I think they'll try to get Nabokov back. That'd be a nice fit for them. And then St. Louis is a little bit tougher. You know, I'm a big fan of St. Louis. They're one of my favorite teams. They're exciting to watch. I know that annoys the listeners, but I really like watching what they've done with their team. They've had a hard luck case the last couple of years. With them, it's the power play. Some of that helps when Alex Steen is healthy, if Andy McDonald gets back, that'll help their power play. But I still think it would make sense for them to see if they could find a forward that can come in just for this year, and help them on the power play.
Rob, great stuff as always. We'll continue to check out your stuff at ESPN.com. And if they Google you, I'm sure you'll see the HockeyAbstract.com, Hockey Prospectus. What's the best way if people want to read your articles, where they can get them?
Well, definitely go to HockeyAbstract.com. That's my personal website. There you can actually get links to all my articles, regardless of where they are. I've got over 300 of them. You got links to both my books. You got links to follow me on Twitter. And also, this is the best part, if you want any of my stats, Everything I do is wide open. You can download it straight from that website, or you can contact me, and I'll send you something that I don't have up there yet.
Outstanding. Rob, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks, Willie.
All right, Rob Vollman, HockeyProspectus.com or HockeyAbstract.com. Check out his website and get linked to all of his stuff. When we come back, Tom Callahan takes over. We'll go into each locker room. We'll start with Anders Lindbach. Anders, the giant between the pipes tonight in Philadelphia as the Predators take on the Flyers. This is our pregame coverage. It's right here on 102.5 The Game.